It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Happy hump day, everybody. The final day of April, and we are happy to be with you here on Sports Daily. It should be a lot of fun today on the program. We've got Shreya Slada, our KU insider, joining us a little later in the program. The Royals win despite the offense again. We'll get into that. We'll get into some portal news for Wichita State, K-State, all kinds of good stuff here. Jacob Albrock alongside Tommy Caster, Max Power producing. We've got you fired up and ready to go on the hotline, 869-1240. You can leave us your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app, where you can also leave us voice messages by clicking the little microphone. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Wednesday. If you're watching our video stream, you probably have noticed that Jacob and I are matching today, rocking the Odyssey quarter zip. So, we coordinated that today.
Yeah, if you were wondering, yes, it was planned. Woke up and felt cute, you know.
You know, yesterday was picture day though for the show. So you and I got together, took some photos for the show. All of our great shows here on the Odyssey family of radio stations took photos, and I've seen a sneak peek of some of them. I can tell you that ours are relatively boring compared to
how good do we look.
Some of our counterparts. I think we look solid. We look professional. Yeah. Like we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we do. All right. Let's jump in. The Royals win, Tommy. The Royals win, and they don't score any runs, but they win. I mean, maybe we just get used to this. Maybe the pitching will bail them out until they can get help in there. Salvi's hitting the ball hard again, which is good. That will help. I think maybe with some consistency, but I mean, how much longer can they lean into this pitching this way? Like it's good to get these wins, but makes you feel a little nervous. Like we're a month into the season now here.
Well, you know, thank goodness that the pitching was solid. Michael Lorenzen had another really good game, only gave up one earned run in six innings. It was great to see Zerpa come in and pitch a clean seventh. He did give up a hit, but he struck out two in that inning. I think really out of the relievers, you know, Lucas Ersig, I don't want to say he struggled, but there was some traffic in his inning.
By his own standards.
By his own. Yeah. It wasn't a clean inning for Ersig. He got out of a jam. You know, he kept the Rays from scoring in that eighth. So it was a little bit stressful, you know, there for Lucas Ersig. And then, you know, credit to the Royals for, you know, being able to get an additional insurance run in the top of the ninth and give Estevez a little bit of breathing room to close out that game. So, I mean, yeah, like it's become the trend for the Royals. They're not going to put a bunch of runs up on the board, but with really solid starting pitching, getting through six innings with Lorenzen and then turning things over to Zerpa and then Ersig and then Estevez, they kind of followed that blueprint, and it worked for them last night.
Yeah, and we'll dig in further to all of it. And man, it's wild. And it's got to be frustrating for the other teams too, to think, man, we're holding them down and we still can't get anything going. So that, you know, there's a positive side to it. We mentioned the portal news for Wichita State and K-State, each adding a player, a pretty needed player in both cases. In one of the cases, it's a pretty high profile player for K-State. So we have that to dig into. KU remains quiet in the portal. Nothing big happening. I saw, and I have no idea if this is relevance to KU, one of the top 25 players pulled his commitment from Washington. He's a big, so maybe something to keep an eye on. I don't know. But KU's still quiet, and KU, you know, is sitting on a little bit of cash. So I'm curious to hear from Shreyas Lott on what exactly he thinks it is that they're doing with the rest of their roster. We'll have him later in the show. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs are, you know, happening now. They've, I by all accounts, Tommy, it's been a really good NBA playoffs, compelling NBA playoffs. I'm still not there yet. Have you dabbled?
Briefly, a little bit. I mean, not, I haven't really locked in yet. I usually, in this opening round, I usually don't really get super locked into it. But to your point, I mean, there have been some really big storylines, and there have been some games that have been tight, that have been gritty. You've seen, you know, a little bit of fireworks on the court with some pushing and shoving and fights and that sort of thing. But no, I mean, like, I haven't gotten to the point yet. I'm kind of like you. It'll be probably the next round when I actually really get locked in.
Yeah, and there needs to be pushing and shoving. I think that's the, you know, the, talking to Brandon Zinner, was lecturing me on how good the NBA playoffs are. And he's like, well, I know why you're not watching the NBA playoffs, because you're watching the Royals. And I'm like, I know, it's hard. Like, it's hard for me to make the switch. I spend so much time and energy now in college basketball. I can't quite put my finger on what has drawn me away from the NBA probably the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. I think one of the biggest reasons is college basketball takes so much energy, and I'm just ready to switch to baseball. But I've always been a baseball fan, and I used to never miss a second of the NBA playoffs. So I don't know. Maybe it's that maybe it's the load management thing. I have no idea, but there are great storylines. Jalen Brunson is a stud. I watch him and know that the Mavericks basically just let him walk in the Luka trade, and it's just like, idiots. But we've got, you know, we've got good series. The Pacers lock it up. The Celtics lock it up. But then you've got Pistons and Knicks in a pretty good series. You've got Nuggets and Clippers, people have been telling me about, has been a really good series. The Warriors are probably going to win as a 7 seed. The Timberwolves have a chance to lock it up. The Thunder have already advanced. I think this next round is going to be pretty good. You know, I think between the Cavs and the Thunder, the two top teams of the regular season, people are, you know, questioning both of them. So it should be really good in the next round. And I will try to jump in, lock in, and watch some NBA playoffs. I guess there was double overtime Stanley Cup playoff hockey last night, Tommy. Like, there's not enough time. You gotta yeah. pick. You gotta choose.
Going back to the NBA briefly, though, you mentioned the Pacers and the Pacers and Bucks series had a bunch of drama with Giannis and I think it was Tyrese Halliburton's dad. Like, they were getting into it on the sideline. Like, it's just like there's all this drama with the NBA playoffs, and you've got the Knicks that, you know, they're up 3-2, and they've got an opportunity to move on against the Pistons. It's been a minute since we've had any kind of relevant talk about the New York Knicks. So yeah, I mean, there are compelling storylines all over the place with the NBA playoffs.
And we'll be here. You know, we'll get into it. If you're an NBA fan and you ever want to talk about it, feel free. I mean, you can. We can give you like bird's eye stuff, but we'll try to lock in. But it's hard with there's baseball. And it like for me, it's just that there's relevant baseball, which we have been starved for, and it's the Royals. And they are there. Look, they're doing what we asked them to do.
They're right? All the way back to 500. I mean, yeah, like they end that bad road trip and yeah. They end up back, you know, up to 500, which is huge.
And, you know, however it is that they get it done, they're doing it. And maybe it has looked a little bit different than we thought, but it's not all that different than what we thought. So, you know, as they sit here today, 30 games in at 500, but with a negative run differential, what does that mean long term? That's what we'll get into when we come back. We'll talk some Royals. Winners last night. You heard it here right here on KFH in that Tampa minor league baseball stadium, which was kind of interesting. They had some issues on the TV broadcast. I don't know if it had anything to do with the stadium, but it's an adventure out there. There's a couple of places where that's happening this year. Oakland, or well, I guess it's Sacramento, and now Tampa. But we'll talk about it. Royals winners. That's where we head next. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every day here at KFH and all across the Odyssey family and networks. Just watching the Tyrese Halliburton's dad and Giannis thing. I guess that's the NBA. You get that drama anywhere you can find it. It's certainly something.
Well, yeah, when the Pacers are going to win the series 4-1, you got to try to find some kind of compelling storyline. And yeah. I guess Tyrese Halliburton's dad getting involved on the court with Giannis, That's the compelling storyline.
There you go. It's prime time, pun intended, to be a sports athlete dad right now. Never been more relevant, maybe. Anywho, let's talk baseball. So the Royals get the win last night in Tampa. They get a lead early. It was in the first inning, wasn't it, that they scored? Yeah. They get an early lead, and they just hold it the whole time. It's okay. Like, it's fine. We're going to take wins in this season when Detroit and Cleveland are almost certainly going to be good. I don't know about the Twins. I'm not convinced they're as bad as they opened the season. They're heating up a little bit now, just four games under 500, by the way. I'm not convinced they're bad either. I think they're probably going to be middle of the road. So you've got a division here where, yeah, the White Sox suck, but you've got four competitive teams. If not four, then three for sure. We're going to take wins any way we can get wins for the Royals. So first and foremost, there's that. Then there's this separate conversation we're trying to have of, like, in that competitive division, do they have enough right now? Cole Reagans is going to miss his start today, and they're going to call up one of their prospects to make the start. It's Noah Cameron, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to call him up to make the start, which is fine, but he doesn't have to go on the IL, it sounds like. So that's actually probably pretty good news for the Royals. But as we evaluate this, it's hard to imagine this team, Tommy, reaching its expectation, which I think can be the World Series, you know, getting to the World Series this year. I don't know that this version of the offense is going to be the offense that takes them to that promised land.
Their starting pitching is one of the best in Major League Baseball, just like it was a year ago. I mean, as far as the ERA is concerned, they've got the fourth best starter ERA in Major League Baseball. On the flip side, so that's the positive. On the flip side, they also lead the majors in innings pitched by their starters. Like that, like that's something that, I mean, they are leaning heavily on the starting rotation as they need to, and the starting pitching has paid off for that. Like, they've done a really great job. In fact, in the last nine games, and this is courtesy of Ann Rogers, one of the beat reporters for the Royals, the Royals starters, like, they've had six quality starts in their last nine games. And that's, you know, a direct comparison, a direct line to why they've won seven of their last eight, because the starting pitching has been so dang good. That's awesome. That's great. And even though the Royals are not averaging a lot of runs per game, slightly over three per game, the starting pitching has really been, I mean, they've been the workhorse. They've been the reason why they've won these games. The question becomes, how sustainable is that? How can you, like, can we look ahead 2, 3, even 5 months down the line when we get into late summer, early fall baseball, and you've put this workload on your starters? Is that going to be sustainable? Will they still have the fourth best ERA in Major League Baseball? Will they be able to lead the league in innings pitched? Or are you going to start to see things like what we have seen happen now with Cole Reagans, where he has to miss a start because he's got a little bit of an injury? Like, I want to make sure that, like, yeah, it's great that the starting pitching is doing what they need to do, but they've also leaned on them very heavily. And I'm just a little bit concerned about how sustainable that actually is.
Yeah, like, I'm concerned. I don't know that if they were scoring, though, if we'd see any less reliance. Part of that reliance is the effectiveness of the starters. I think the good thing, I think, for them in that regard is last year, all these dudes, like, they raised their innings limit bars. They all reached this new frontier. It's part of the reason I was concerned about Brady Singer. It's like, how do they respond to the workload of last year? Well, right now they're responding fine. And so that's good, right? You've replaced Singer with Chris Bubich, and you're just rocking and you're rolling your way right through with another great rotation. They're all replicating essentially what they did a year ago. You know, Lugo has not been quite as good, but he's very good in his last start. In totality, he's not, like, leading the world in all the Cy Young categories like he was this time a year ago. So I think their starting pitching is at least, we'll call it as good. We'll call it as good because I think Bubich Lorenzen is an upgrade over Singer Marsh at this point. And that's no knock on those other two guys. It's more of a tip of the cap to how effective Lorenzen and Bubich have been, honestly. And so I'm good with it. The other thing that's different than last year, their bullpen. I mean, do you remember their April bullpen last year?
It was awful. It was so bad.
So that's another big difference between this year's team and last year's team, and why they can sustain this longer stretch of bad offense is because, yes, their starting pitching is essentially replicating what they did a year ago. That was always going to be pretty critical to what they did. Now their bullpen, like, honestly, for me, it is like we're not even in the same stratosphere with the bullpen from where it was a year ago at this time. I mean, they have two back there that are for sure better. They're trying to get Harvey back. I hope he can be healthy for some stretch for this team based on what they gave up for him. But now you're going to have three Zerpas getting better. That gives you, but then you have Lynch, you have Schreiber, you have all these guys. Now it all of a sudden, they not only do they have a really rock solid back end, they've got a deep bullpen that can help them, you know, alleviate some of the need on these starters once they can get there. But man, when you're 2-1, you're 2-0, you're 3-1 every single night, one way or the other, it is. They're all high intensity kinds of games that this team is playing. And last year's offense was streaky. We've talked about it. Man, we're at April 30th. Like, I don't think this is just streaky. I don't. I don't think all of a sudden if Vinny Pasquantino gets it together, it's going to mean this team goes and starts scoring 5 runs a game. They are the worst team in baseball offensively right now. When you collect all of them, you know, they're at or near the bottom of the league in runs, home runs, slugging percentage, OPS, whatever you want to look at as far as run generating stuff, they're the worst in the league right now.
And how remarkable is it though that they're back at 500 with one of the worst, if not the worst, offenses in Major League Baseball? I mean, again, it's a testament to their entire pitching staff, to their rotation, to the fact that the bullpen, especially the back end, has been able to hold games. I think that one thing to keep in mind, and we saw it in full force yesterday in last night's game in Tampa, they got out to a lead early in the first inning. They did. They started off that game the way that they needed to start off that game. And I know it was only one run, but still, like, Jonathan India gets on base. He gets a hit. Bobby Witt moves him over. And then Salvi hits a double and is able to drive him in. Like, that's the recipe for success for the Royals. That's why they brought Jonathan India in.
It's the recipe for one run.
But that's all they needed. I mean, that's all. Because,
well, no, I know.
You know, and we've had the discussion before, and I know we've talked to Jalen Thompson about this, about the inability for the Royals when they are down to come from behind. That, like, that's not in their DNA. That's not their offensive makeup. Like, they can have their pitching staff hold an opponent to where they give them an opportunity to come back. But we've seen so many times this season, especially on that last road trip when things were so bad for them, that they were getting down early and then they couldn't come back. They were leaving runners stranded in scoring position. They weren't able to drive guys in. And, you know, even a one-run deficit, especially if it was more than a one-run deficit, I'm not sure there's been a whole lot of confidence when you look at this team like, oh yeah, like they've got the opportunity to come back. Like they can get themselves back in the game. They did it last week against Colorado, but the Rockies are god-awful terrible. And they were able to win in extras in that opening game when Estevez gave up the lead in the ninth. But that's not something that we count on. So it becomes that much more critical for them to get early leads, because then their pitching can hang on. And, you know, last night was the perfect blueprint for that. They got out to a lead early, and then Lorenzen was able to just kind of roll and make sure that, you know, he turned it over to the bullpen with the lead. So, I mean, that's how the Royals have had success. That's really the way that it's going to have to continue.
I think at minimum, like, for me, if we're looking for short-term solutions to a long-term problem, because I do think this probably is a long-term problem that they're going to have to address outside of what's currently on the roster, I think in the short term, there are things that can be done. And right away, immediately, Michael Massey needs to not be in the six hole. Like, that needs to stop right away. Either get him out of the lineup or put him...
He bat fifth yesterday.
Five hole. Yeah. That needs to be done. That experiment should be over. He's not productive right now. He has to be removed from that spot. And honestly, I'd take Vinny out of the three spot too. Like, work it out somewhere else in the lineup. Because right now what you have are a couple of guys who are, you know, their power numbers aren't there, but they're at least productive offensively. It's time to slide up Garcia, and it's time to slide up Drew Waters. Let one of those guys hit third. Let one of those guys hit fifth, and at least try to bunch it all together so that when you are threatening in an inning, it's not Michael Massey at the moment coming up with a couple of runners on. Like, he's not doing anything. And I'm not saying give up on Michael Massey at all. I'm saying let some of these other guys who are at least being productive now have more chances at those spots.
Your boy Freddie Fermin was 3-for-4 last night in the 8-hole, you know? And so
he's always productive, right? Like Freddie Fermin, that's why I thought that it would be an interesting experiment to lead him off last year, because he's just always productive. He's not going to blow us away with his offensive numbers, but he doesn't have a lot of bad at bats either. And right now you're getting nothing but bad at bats out of Massey. Vinny, I do think, is hitting it hard and maybe there's a little bad luck involved, but not Massey's got to get out of that spot. Like, you've got Waters and Garcia right now. They may be just on a heater. So take advantage of the heater while they're on it. Now, I think there's a chance both of those guys are sustainable. I'm optimistic for both of those guys. But at this point, if it's going to be India and Bobby Witt Jr. on base and Salvi's, like, you got to move some other guys up there. And it's not going to be like, why are we so beholden to Michael Massey as your 5-hole hitter? Michael Massey.
Yeah, right? You know, he was productive a year ago. He was one of the more, you know, dynamic offensive threats for Kansas City. There were several times where, you know, last season he was the guy that led them offensively. But I get it. Like, what have you done for me lately? He's in the 5-hole. Like, it's not working right now. His average is below 200. And the Royals have shown at least a willingness to an extent to try to tinker with the lineup some, to try to tinker with, you know, who's, you know, batting in what order and trying to find ways to get guys more productive. I don't disagree with you. I don't think that Massey right now should be batting fifth. You know, I'm trying to think about, like, what would my ideal lineup be right now? You know, like, I understand the argument of moving Vinny out of the 3-hole, but do you put Garcia in the 3-hole? Like, does it go?
I would put Waters in the 3-hole and Garcia in the 5-hole. That's what I would do.
I think the only concern I've got about that is that then you end up having basically automatic outs in the lower half of your lineup. And I know, I know trying to stack them all up together, you know, is, I get it, to try to get it out of the way. But at the same time, you're with every at bat, because we just talked about this, with all these games being so close, every at bat is a high leverage at bat. Every at bat, it doesn't matter if you stack up your lower half of the lineup with automatic outs or not, you're going to get into clutch situations late in the game where those guys are going to come up to bat one way or the other. And everything is just made that much bigger because we're talking about close games all the time.
I think Michael Massey has been a really good player for this team and will be, but like, if we even go back over his career, like last year, it was his best year by far, right? Kind of league average as far as like the like slugging percentage, OPS, those kinds of things. So you've got him hitting in the middle of your lineup like he's a power hitter. He's not. He was in his absolute best, which was last year. If he could replicate it, it would be great. He was league average in both of those categories. So, and now obviously this year he's well below the average. So all I'm saying with Massey, and I like Michael Massey a lot, is don't be so beholden to him as being your 5-hole hitter, for goodness sake. Like, why would you be so locked into that particular thing? You've got Waters and Garcia hitting. Who knows how long Waters can keep this up, but he's been productive in all of his at-bats. That's like, put him in the 3-hole. That's exactly what you want out of your 3-hole, especially if the two guys ahead of him are so good at getting on base. Then you've got Salvi locked in. You don't mess with Salvi. And then, yeah, Michael Garcia's got a little pop. Throw him in there and see how he responds to being a 5-hole hitter. And then, yeah, you're going to have 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe a little bit down. But, I mean, Tommy, I'd rather be down every other inning right now than not be able to drive in runs when you have the opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, they've
got to be able to take more. Are you advocating then for Pasquantino to bat like 7th?
I would then slide him to 6.
Okay.
In that scenario, I would put him back down at 6 because then you're still. I'm not quite as concerned about him as I am some of the others. I just think while they're really struggling, it'd be different if they had production elsewhere in the lineup. You could let him sort of work it out there. But right now, I think it's not desperation, but it's offensive desperation where you're starved for it and you have to just scratch and claw your way to a run. Like, no, okay, let's see if we can get some easy ones here and let those guys work it out a little lower in the lineup. Again, I think it was yesterday. I would love for Cotrero to be able to just have the same lineup, the same bullpen every day. Like, I am a fan of that. I'm a proponent of that if it works. Right now, offensively, that's not working for the Royals. It's not. And so do something else until you can get some reinforcements there to help, whether it's Cags, which I think will happen sooner than we thought, or whether it's, and I also think this will happen, I think both of these things will happen, they go find somebody closer to the trade deadline. Nobody's ready to trade any usable assets at this point, unless you can go to the Rockies. I mean, maybe you can go to the White Sox and see if Luis Robert is available, but I doubt it. And if he is, he's going to be probably more than what the Royals want to pay. So, you know, do something different just now, just for now. It doesn't have to be permanent, but until you can start scoring some runs, they're the worst in baseball right now. Essentially, it's them and the Rangers. Like, they just can't score any runs.
Yeah,
I mean, else.
I think that the only concern, and this is something that, you know, I don't know what's in Matt Quatrero's head. I don't know what he's thinking right now. But there's part of me that I wonder if he's kind of like, hey, it's working. Like, we're back to 500. We might We might not be scoring a bunch of runs, but it's working. We're winning games. We've won 7 of our last 8. You know, we've been able to crawl, you know, grind our way back to 500, scratch and claw and get back to where we need to be at an even 500 through 30 games. Let's leave well enough alone. The starting pitching is working. They're shutting people down. We've got the back end of the bullpen we feel confident in. Once we get Hunter Harvey back, we'll feel even more confident. Zerpa's kind of turning things around where they can lean on him a little bit more. They've got other guys that are, you know, effective in Daniel Lynch and others, John Schreiber, in the bullpen. So, hey, maybe we don't mess with it a whole lot right now. Like, maybe we'll just continue to let these guys try to work it out on their own without, you know, shaking the tree too much. And so, again, I don't know if that's his mindset going into it, but it wouldn't be overly shocking for me right now. I mean, it'd be different if they went, you know, that 2-8 on that road trip that was awful for them. And if it just followed them back home and they weren't able to take care of business against the Rockies. They weren't able to take 2 of 3 from the Astros. They weren't able to get this opening game against the Rays. Then at that point, I think that, yeah, there's probably some panic going on.
Let's talk a little college basketball. Let's start with K-State's addition to the roster, because I think it's a little more high profile and perhaps more impactful. But they add a Serbian guard. Okay, you've probably never heard of this guy. In fact, if you say that you have before yesterday, I might say you're full of beans here. But Andre Kostic, so this has been updated now. The story when I read it yesterday, and this is according to Adam Zagoria, who follows this stuff, and I think he's been following like a Serbian equivalent page to what he has or something. It's a little hard to follow. But anyway, so the addition is coming from several places. The NIL deal, yesterday it was being reported around $1 million. Today it's being reported around $2.5 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I don't know which one of those, like, the same story has been updated. So that part of it is not, I mean, it's only important to the sense of like K-State is going and finding somebody big, right? Like they're throwing a big bag around. The amount in Serbian media was $1 million yesterday, but then there is some reporting again. Zagoria, who had this first, I think, is now saying he's been told it's more than double that. So there's that part of it. That's a big deal just to know that K-State still has that, right? Because we've liked some of their additions. Then you get into the part of this that's really intriguing. That's how productive this kid was for his national team, coming from a country and a region of the world where there's been a lot of great players lately. And he averaged almost 16 points a game, 6 rebounds a game, and a steal and a half in his under 18 league last year. So that's what's out there with him. Look, we're not going to sit here. We never have. We never will. We're not going to sit here and try and analyze the game of a kid who's, you know, 18 years old playing in Serbia that we've never heard of before. But the production is there at a level that you like from a part of the world where they're kind of churning him out here lately. And you can just search his name on Twitter, whatever, and you'll start to see some of the highlight videos coming out. This feels like a really, really significant move for the Cats.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about this kid at all. I mean, considering the fact that he's from overseas, he's 18. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time, like, being able to, like, assess what kind of landing this is, you know, for Jerome Tang. But what I will say is that it's interesting that, you know, yeah, Tang has worked the transfer portal for sure this cycle. But it does look like the most expensive player, at least right now, that they went out and got is somebody that's not even from the transfer portal. They go overseas, you know, to go and get him. And so I do find that interesting. You know, like, I guarantee, like, there was competition for this guy's services. Like, I've got no doubt about that. But it's not like, you know, Tang had to go through the transfer portal and jump through all the hoops and all of that, you know, to be able to make this happen. And I don't know if it's easier to go overseas to get an 18-year-old Serbian kid. I have no idea what the process looks like on that.
Those guys come to the NBA so
often. Yeah.
That's the part for me. Like,
well, and the fact that, dude. I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago that overseas players, it wasn't like they were able to make money through NIL. You know, that was the big issue. Remember with Johnny Furphy at KU was that he didn't stick around because he couldn't make the money. And so knowing that, you know, the price tag is floating out there, regardless if it's a million or two and a half or whatever it is, it's a pretty significant investment one way or the other for Jerome Tang. And the fact that he bypassed the transfer portal to go and make it happen and go overseas, I do find that really interesting.
So it was 24 points a game for his Serbian team, and then about 16 when they got on some kind of European circuit. If you watch his game, he is – I don't want to say it looks like Luka necessarily, but there are – that to me, when I watch it, that style at least, like just with the ball in your hand, you can kind of score from anywhere and be athletic and do all those things – I don't know if that makes any sense, but I think those are fair comparisons. Jokic, Luka, guys that are playing and coming from those backgrounds and their ability with the ball in their hand to score in a variety of ways. That's what you can see that in some of his highlight tapes. And the reason I bring that up is I think it's such a perfect fit for what Jerome Tang has wanted to do at K-State. You know, his first year there, he let a couple of guards do that and it took him to the Elite Eight. At the times they've been good, they've been able to do that. So what I see when I see it is a perfect fit, right? I think Jerome Tang will be perfectly comfortable letting a player of high ability just keep the ball in their hand a lot. And it's not just Tang. Houston just went to and should have won a national championship game. We've talked about it. Playing that kind of offense, right? Letting a couple of guys dominate the ball and just being good at everything else with your other guys. And so we'll see. It does seem like, Tommy, a really good fit. And it's so hard to get excited about these kinds of players that you just don't know, you know, that play nowhere near what we're familiar with, comfortable with. I think it's a big deal. And I think it's a good fit for Tang.
Yeah, I think that time will tell on how that investment will end up paying off, you know, for Jerome Tang, because it's a complete unknown. I mean, we know what he did overseas. We know how, you know, he played with his national team, all of that. And the skill set is absolutely there. We saw what Coleman Hawkins made last year for K-State. This is a completely different situation and a different way that Jerome Tang is utilizing the dollars from NIL. And so it's interesting. I think it's a... it's an intriguing direction to go. Like, we saw the high profile transfer make a bunch of money a season ago for K-State, and that didn't pan out as far as the expectations for the team overall last season. So now he's going a different direction, investing money in, you know, somebody that hasn't been high profile in the portal, and going and getting somebody from overseas and bringing them in and seeing how his game will acclimate. Remember, he's still only 18. And so regardless, again, about the amount of money that he's making, he's only 18 and he's got a great skill set. He's got highlights. He's got all of that stuff, you know, the stats to back it all up. He hasn't played, you know, in this country yet. He hasn't played in college athletics What will that transition time be like? How long will that take? Will he be able to jump in automatically and contribute right away? Is it going to take him some time? Will there be growing pains? Will he take his lumps? All of that stuff, I think, remains to be seen. I'm not knocking the move at all, because I do think it's an intriguing direction for Kansas State to go with some of their NIL budget. But I think it's, while it might be a perfect fit, I think ultimately the jury's going to be out for a while on whether or not this ends up being a good move for Kansas State or not.
Yeah, I think it's risky in some ways, but I appreciate the, I appreciate the idea of it, right? I appreciate them thinking outside the box to try and, because what we're seeing otherwise, and even more than last year with Coleman Hawkins, to me, it's not even so much that, because Coleman Hawkins was a highly productive player, making the kind of money he was reported to have made. We're seeing dudes that aren't that productive make a ton of money. And so, like, if you're sitting there as K-State and you're like, man, if we're going to throw that kind of money at somebody, maybe it should be for somebody who can do what we need, like who can at least like profiles to be the kind of player we need. So I applaud the effort and the energy. Maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. But the tape looks like it's a fit for what Jerome Tang likes to do offensively. Shocker's also at a player, Tommy, and not nearly as high profile or productive, but certainly fills a need for them. Emmanuel Okorafor from Seton Hall. You might recognize the name a little bit more. He played at Louisville. I did recognize the name on him. He's big. I think it was Monday. We talked about this, Brandon, because of the Colombian that they brought in. Paul Mills is clearly, and I love this, Tommy, by the way, clearly has a type this offseason. And it's a big dude that can play defense. I don't know, like a core four is not, he has not lit it up. I mean, he's like 2 points, 2 rebounds a game, but he's a big body. And I think it's pretty clear that they want to build around defense this year.
They want to build around defense, but they also want to make sure that they can match up size wise, against their opponents. And, you bring in a core four, you bring in Will Berg. I know they've just got Jarrett Valencia, who's not huge, but I mean, he's a defensive guy, and he can play the front court too for Monmouth. And that was a big get, for Paul Mills. They are going to have size. That's going to be a trademark for this team. They're going to have length. They're going to have size. You would think that defensively they'll be strong. You would think rebounding wise, they will be effective. It's nearly impossible to replace a guy like Quincy Ballard and a guy like Corey Washington, but they had clear deficiencies in that front court going in to this transfer portal cycle. And I think they've addressed that. Whether or not these guys will be more productive at Wichita State than they were at their previous stops, in the case of Okorafor and Berg, we don't know that. But that clearly is a type. It's like, go and find the guys in bigger programs that are not getting the playing time and they're not being overly productive, and bring them to Wichita State to see if they can take the next step in their career. That's been the priority, at least in this cycle, for Wichita State. And from a front court perspective, like, I was pretty concerned with the departure of Ballard and Washington that they weren't going to even have the size to match up. Whether or not they can execute, I don't know yet. Nobody knows that yet, if they take that next step forward. But at least from a size perspective, they have checked that box.
It's just, remember back to last year, right? Like, they started the year as kind of an offense first team. They could score. We liked that. And then they got in a conference play and that hurt them. Well, what turned their season around? They started to lock it down defensively. I mean, that's what they built the late season success on. Jordan asks about, five guys now between 6'8 and 7'2. What do we think about the size? I love it. I love the idea of it. It feels like Shocker basketball to me. Right? The offense has never been, some of the great Shocker teams, like, offense has never been easy. And that's okay, because defense has always looked easy in the great years. And if they can get back to that, I think it raises the baseline. Maybe it doesn't raise the ceiling, but it raises the baseline. And right now they need to raise the baseline. And then Jordan asked, with two of those last three spots, do they go after shooters? We'll answer that question after the break, Jordan. So that, you set that up on a tee for us here. you know, what happens next now after that, because there's a couple of roster spots left. We'll hit that when we start our next hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's Albrecht and Castor on a Wednesday.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.